The other issue that is very South African, of course, is the curve that we're trying to flatten. Flattening the curve with respect to COVID-19 is a combination of two things: the rate of transmission of the disease as compared to the readiness of the health system. Now, we at 205,000 plus cases in the country are aware of the fact that we are racing ahead with respect to the actual transmission of the disease, and that of course was anticipated when we moved down levels of restriction. However, we want to talk to Dr. Zweli Mkhize now about the other side of the flattening curve conversation, which is the readiness of the health system. Four provinces present sincere issues, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, our conversation yesterday with Dr. Katlego Motse, Kagiso Motse, excuse me, who works in Rustenburg in the northwest, not one of the four hotspot provinces, highlighting 80 to 90% capacity taken up already in their ICUs. That obviously gives us a really, really concerning outlook for the four provinces whose transmissions are charging ahead even faster than the northwest. It's 12 minutes past 7. He is now standing by. Our National Minister of Health is Dr. Zweli Mkhize.
Join the lockdown conversation now on Cape Talk.
Welcome back to Breakfast with Refilwe. Dr. Mkhize, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. My job's a little easier than yours, just a smidge. Minister, you know, here we are now. We've got over 205,000 cases. And since the last time we spoke, we have had a shift in where the focus is in terms of the rate of transmission, and that is Gauteng as opposed to the Western Cape. We're obviously very concerned about Gauteng in particular, but you've also mentioned the Eastern Cape, KZN, and of course still the Western Cape remain a concern. The MEC in Johannesburg, excuse me, in Gauteng has obviously highlighted these concerns and indicated that behavior should return to level 5 or so. Do you think we'll see restrictions tighten?
Well, we will need to consider additional restrictions in some areas, but certainly we need a way of supporting communities to move towards behavioral change that will promote the reduction in the spread. So it's possible that you might have to move into some kind of restrictions. No decisions have been taken yet. But certainly, we are concerned with the rising numbers. And as we speak right now, Gauteng is the one area where the numbers have shot up quite high. Yes, they are concerning, although we did expect that they would be rising to the levels which they are doing now.
Okay. And is it possible for us to actually see compliance with tightening of restrictions? Feedback seems to be that most South Africans are pretty much behaving as if it's level one.
Well, there has been, look, on the lockdown, there was quite a lot of, you know, compliance. Of course, you can never get 100%. And certainly, we are seeing people have started using masks and sanitizers and so on. But there are many who still don't take it seriously. It takes a while, and so we need to keep pushing the message. But I can't say we can give up because we don't have another option.
Minister, in the Eastern Cape, let's turn our attention to there. You know, we've seen the deployment of SANDF medics as well as a lot of malfeasance within the municipal allocation of COVID-intended funding. There have been a number of calls for that particular province to be placed under administration, which might rely on a recommendation for you. What would your recommendation be?
Look, I wouldn't recommend that for now. Look, taking a province into administration is itself a challenge. What we have to look at is whether is the province doing what is expected to do. In this case, the answer is yes. The second question would be, are we finding a difficulty in the cooperation and reluctance in ensuring that programs that are expected are being implemented? In this case, there are weaknesses that you can see in the province. There are weaknesses in the management of the department. There is a historical problem of underdevelopment of the health services. There are resource constraints. Then there are also some of the problems of, you know, administrative challenges. So when those situations happen, you can only take over the province if you think the problem is only because of the management by those who are in charge that you seek to remove. At this point, I wouldn't say that is the case. I think you may want to change here and there. I think certainly we need to keep focusing on strengthening their management of the whole health services. But I wouldn't say that you want to take over completely.
But Minister, you know, you may say that it comes down to your concerns about the management, and that may be fair, but at this particular time, we're dealing with very limited time. This is a fast-acting, fast-ravaging disease. There's a sense of urgency that doesn't allow us to wait a few quarters to see how management turns things around. And the constraints that you've just mentioned, you know, the lack of resources turns good managers, in some respects, bad. The lack of PPEs has seen, we've seen reports of Eastern Cape medical workers refusing to assist COVID patients. There's the case of just, you know, about a week ago, Shonisani Letole, who tweeted you about the lack of food in his ward and then died at the hands of poor management. How many deaths before we say, okay, maybe management is under-resourced and so now we must step in?
Well, the case of Shoniwa was in Gauteng.
Yes,
and this matter was being is being investigated right now. Very unfortunate, because it's getting lost, and we need to understand the circumstances. In the case of Western Cape, we have actually sent additional people to go and reinforce what we consider to be management weaknesses. We have also a program right now where we're engaging all the unions so that we can close the gaps in terms of what the union members report and what the management reports. We want to close that gap as well. Those things are going to happen every now and again, because whilst we're seeing all of these challenges are coming, but there's thousands of health workers who are doing good work, who are helping people to recover, who are treating people. And so we, when we find difficulties, we mustn't think that's the only thing that we've got. We must acknowledge that lots of good work is happening, and we must also acknowledge that there will be those instances where people misbehave and we have to take action about. So cases of malfeasance, we have no time for that. We have to really act on that. When we find that there are people who are getting you know, abusing the system, or, you know, irregularities and theft and so on, those we have to act on very strongly, and they will always be there. But when we find them, we must act immediately and make it clear that we cannot tolerate it.
So thank you for the emphatic response with respect to the malfeasance and theft, Minister. And I agree with you. We definitely do acknowledge that they're very hardworking health workers all over the country. We spoke to just one yesterday that I mentioned earlier in the Northwest, for example. Not many of them are able to speak to us, of course. But I'm concerned that about the euphemistic nature of how you're responding about things like the death of Shoni, right? So I know it's under investigation, but we to call them challenges, or that these things will happen from time to time, or, you know, that we're having difficulties with respect to a person's life. This person wasn't fed for 48 hours. That's not a lack of resources. I would expect that you would respond with the same emphatic way that you responded about the theft of money. What is going to be done about making sure that people are safe when they go into hospitals and their families can't defend them?
Well, you know, the case of Shoniwa is very sad. But we have also gone into to ask what happened. The first reports that have come up have indicated that staff said that the patient was feeding himself, he was eating. And that's why I'm saying that the matter needs to be further investigated. We've already gone to ask what happened, and that is the problem, that when we get an answer like that, we are really not happy. It's a very sad situation if any person's life is lost. We respond to many people who indicate that they've not been given proper treatment, and we want to make sure that that is dealt with. And in this case, that's exactly what we wanted to do. And the health ombudsman is actually has been asked to go into it. It's already started because when we first did the preliminary investigation, we got an answer that was different, and we therefore have to go into more details as to what happened in this case. So it's not so much that one is being euphemistic about it. If it comes out like that, well, it's unfortunate because there isn't a way we can condone any life that could be lost from any form of negligence. But in this case, I was just indicating to you that we are investigating the matter further because the preliminary investigation has given us contradictory issues. For me, the question was really if someone was feeding himself, what was the issue? What was the reason why the person would have sent a message? And at the same time, we do know that some of the people said he was in a quarantine site. And in this case, we know it was a hospital, so it was not true. But at the same time, the infection, the COVID-19, can turn very suddenly and cause a very serious distress in the individual. In this case, that is what was reported, that okay. The situation turned, you know, deteriorated on the second or third day. And that, again, is an issue that we must go into a bit more details about what has happened. So it's a very, very difficult situation where really we're going to be losing people in a hospital where we're expecting that once they reach there, they should in fact be getting better.
All right, Minister. So no administration for Eastern Cape, more investigation for Gauteng. We continue here in the Western Cape. And out of interest, nationwide, how close are we to full capacity on ICU?
We haven't breached the capacity for ICU. We do understand that the numbers of people who are coming into Gauteng is increasing pretty fast, but we have not got to a point where we have run out of the beds. What we think has been part of the challenge is the fact that the numbers are increasing faster, and therefore we are looking at tightening on the management of the hospital distribution of beds so that if somebody, there's pressure in one area, they should be able to take the person to the nearest hospital. We should also be looking at how we should be integrating the work of the field hospitals such as Nazareth to run like a specific hospital themselves so that, again, there are no hitches at that level.
All right.
But as of today, we are going to be bringing them additional staff. National Department has contracted agencies, nursing recruitment agencies, that are going to give us the staff where we think that the ICU staff is going to be under pressure. We've got about 300 or so nurses that are going to be put into Gauteng within this week. Because of that, we are also bringing in an emergency intervention team from National Department to go into Gauteng so as to fast-track the availability of beds where we think there are bureaucratic constraints. That team is also going to be dealing with them right now. I'm now on in contact with Gauteng almost twice or three times a day to monitor what is happening there in the same way that I've been doing with the Western Cape and Eastern Cape.
Okay.
So there will be pressures, I think we must understand, but at the same time we must know we had warned a while back that the numbers are going to increase, and the numbers are unfortunately increasing at this point, although our models are showing that the surge is not as high as was originally thought, and so we still know that there is pressure into our hospitals. We have warned about it, and when we're going through difficulties, it mustn't be that we had not indicated that the challenge of COVID-19 is such that we will also feel the same pressure that the US, the UK, that France, that Italy, that China and Korea, all of them have felt, because it's the same epidemic that we're dealing with.
All right. Dr. Zweli Mkhize, National Minister of Health, thank you so much for that thorough answer, and keep safe out there.